joining with Keith and welcome everybody out. And we're delighted that you've come. And once you get your Bibles, we want you to follow along, a Bible out of the pew, examine all that we have to say in light of the Word of the Lord. And we trust that our study will be of a profit and of a benefit, and it will, if we'll just give heed to God's Word. It's not enough just to hear God's Word. Jesus says the wise man are those that hear His through the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 on through the end of the chapter. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." In particular, I want you to notice that phrase there in verse 52. He says, at the return of Christ, "For the trumpet shall sound." That's our study here this evening, is to talk about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ of final events. We're going to talk about the trumpet. It's going to sound. Someday, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it will announce His return. Just like they have trumpets that sound when kings come in or presidents and those types of things. The trumpet will sound when the Lord Jesus Christ will return back to this world to end all earthly things. And so that's our study tonight as we talk about the trumpet will sound. The trumpet shall sound, and when it does, time will end. Time will be no more. Look there in 1 Corinthians 15, back up just a few verses back there in 1 Corinthians 15. Notice there in verses 22 through 24. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end." When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, it says, "Then cometh the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power." When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, ladies and gentlemen, it will be the end. It will be the end of time. Notice there in the book of John, the 6th chapter, about 4 times we're going to see a phrase that is common. Notice there in verse 39. "And this is the Father's will, which He has sent me, that has sent me, that all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up." Now listen. "I should raise it up again at the last day." Then look at verse 40. "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life." Now listen. "And I will raise him up at the last day." Then look at verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then notice there, verse 54 of John 6. It says, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up when? At the last day." Ladies and gentlemen, at the last day, when the trumpet will sound, time will come to an end. At creation, that's when time began. Time of days and nights and all that started at creation with the movement of the solar system and the planets and all that, and we're in the midst of time. But when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, time will end. That is, we will step into eternity future at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the trumpet shall sound, number one, time will end. May we suggest that when the trumpet shall sound, it will be the resurrection of the dead. Of all the dead. Look there in John chapter 5, 28 and 29. Jesus says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And it will happen at the same hour. The resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the evil people. All at the same hour. The same resurrection in the same hour. Look back where we started there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says there in verse 51, look at it again. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, we're not all going to die. But we shall all be changed. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Just like that. A twinkle of an eye. That's less than a second. It's a millisecond. In a fraction of a second. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All mankind who has passed away will be raised from the dead, and of course the living will be translated at the same hour, at the same day. The same resurrection. One resurrection, that is, of all the dead. Now look over there in the book of Acts chapter 24. In Acts chapter 24, when Paul was there before the Jews, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, he says there in verse 14 and 15, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing in all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, now listen, that there shall be a resurrection. Did you see that? Resurrection singular, not resurrections of the dead, but the resurrection of the dead. Both of the just and the unjust. One resurrection from the dead. Now, of course, our premillennial friends, they'll say, well, now you're going to have the resurrection of the just at the coming of Jesus, and then there'll be the 1,000-year reign. And then there'll be the resurrection of the unjust. So you've got some 1,000-year period or more, depending on what variation you get, but at least 1,000-year difference between the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. So you kind of have like two resurrections. But that's not what the Scriptures are telling us. In the same hour, Jesus said there in John 6, Paul said the resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. There is one resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust, of all the billions of people that have died. All will be raised when the trumpet will sound, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this world. When the trumpet will sound, something else will take place. Uh-oh. And that is the universal judgment. We will all be raised from the dead. We'll all be translated of those that are alive. And then there'll be the universal judgment of God. When all of us stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen to what Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. The assurance that there is going to be a day of judgment and the resurrection is the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And it is the divine assurance that we're going to be raised from the dead and that someday we're going to face God in the day of judgment, a universal judgment of all mankind. That's why we need to repent. That's why I need to repent. That's why you need to repent. That's why we need to turn to God. We need to turn from sin and turn to the Lord. We need to make our life right. We need to become a Christian. We need to be a servant of God. We need to find the mercy and grace of God. For without it, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And all that He could ever say to us is, guilty of sin and depart from me, you cursed. What else could He say? We have no excuse for our sins. No excuse at all. But in Jesus Christ, we can be prepared for this day. In the book of Romans, chapter 14. Notice there in Romans, chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Paul says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He's not going to say, United States of America, that country, you all, come on, step forward. We're not going to be judged as a nation. He's not going to say, Harrisburg Church of Christ, now that group of people, we want you to go ahead and just step forward. No, we're not going to stand as a local congregation. He's not going to say, Shirley family, you all just come on, just move on up here to the judgment seat. No, we're not going to stand as a family unit. We're going to stand individually. Now, we're going to have to answer how we fulfill our responsibilities in the nation, in the family, in the local church, but we stand individually before God. It is a universal judgment. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Don't give account for somebody else. We're going to give account for us, for ourselves, for how we have lived and how we have acted and behaved. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 there, and in verse 10, Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Doesn't make any difference whether you love God and devoted to Him, or you hate God, or you don't care about God, or you're an atheist. It makes no difference, good or bad alike. We will all be brought before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will have to give answer in that day. When the trumpet will sound, that will take place. A universal judgment. There will be no exceptions. All will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When the trumpet will sound, ladies and gentlemen, the material universe will be burned up. Notice there in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3 there. In 2 Peter, chapter 3, look there, verses 10 through 12. 2 Peter, chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. Peter says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy manner of living and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." This world's going to be burned up. And all there in this building is going to be burned up. This table down here is going to be burned up. This pulpit, this microphone, this laptop, it's all going to be burned up. The carpet's going to be burned up. The ground that we're standing on is going to be burned up. The material universe, the sun, the moon, the star, it's all going to pass away with fervent heat. Because we're going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And then we will sweep into eternity based upon that judgment that God makes. Then notice there in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." This world is someday going to pass. And then look back there in the book of Genesis chapter 8. In Genesis chapter 8, it's kind of an interesting statement. When Noah left the ark after the flood, here's what God tells Noah. In verse 22 of Genesis chapter 8, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Did you hear what he said? While the earth remaineth. What is implied in that, while the earth remaineth? Well, it's implying there's going to come a time when the earth will not remain. But while it does remain, what does he say is going to take place? Seed time and harvest, that's spring and fall. Cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, what shall not cease? And this is just a side note lesson. When we have people who talk about global warming, they don't know what they're talking about. How do I know that? Because he says summer and winter, seed time and harvest, day and night, shall not cease. When you say, well, global warming, the world's just going to warm up and it's just going to be just a summer all year round. No, it's not true. Or when people were saying, well, we're going to have a nuclear war and we're going to go into nuclear winter and it'll just be cold all that. No, that's not so. It's not so because God's promise is that seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease while the earth remaineth. But now when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, all that's going to come to an end. Why? Because the earth and the world therein, the material universe, is going to be burned up. It's going to be vaporized. It's going to come to an end. But while it's here, these things are going to transpire. You know it's being cold today. But I tell you one thing, come this summer, it's going to be hot. You can just write that down. We're not going to have frost. And we're not going to have snowy days come July and August. It's just not going to happen. And it might be cool come this December for a day or two, but it's not going to stay warm. We're going to have freezing weather this coming winter if the world stands. You can just write that down. You can bank on that just as much as the sun's going down this evening and tomorrow morning it will rise again. That's the promise of God. But one day, this material universe is going to be burned up when the trumpet shall sound. When the trumpet shall sound, ladies and gentlemen, it will be the punishment of sinners. And let me emphasize, that is impenitent sinners. If we say the punishment of sinners, to say all sinners, that means everybody, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we talk about the punishment of sinners, we are talking about the impenitent. We're talking about people who refuse to repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ to find forgiveness. The impenitent sinners is what we find out from the Word of the Lord. Notice there in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm sorry. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, notice there in verse 7. "And who you are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance," that is divine retribution, "taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall be what? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." That's going to take place when the trumpet will sound after the day of judgment. The pronouncement of punishment upon impenitent sinners. Notice in the book of Romans, chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, notice there, it is about verse 6. No, let me back up there to verse 5. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Then he says, for there is no respect of persons with God. No respect of persons with God. He isn't prejudiced. He doesn't say, you know, I kind of like Mike. I like the way Mike Estes looks. I think I'm going to just save him and bring him into heaven. Because I just like his look. He's just a good-looking guy. And I'm just going to bring him into heaven. And Tim down here, I just don't like the way he looks. So I'm going to just cast him in the lake of fire. Because I just don't like the way he looks. I don't like the way he parts his hair. It's not like that. It's not based upon how we look on the outside. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has nothing to do with your education or your lack of education. It has nothing to do whether you're rich or poor. It has nothing to do whether you're black or white. What it has to do is the character and the content of our heart, of who we are as a person. That's what matters with God. And if we have sinned against God, and we all have, but we refuse to come and receive His overtures of mercy and grace and forgiveness that's found in Christ Jesus, and we refuse to obey the gospel of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, we're going to be hopelessly lost in eternity. And we think, well, I should obey the gospel. I know I should have become a Christian. I know that sounded like a wonderful thing, but you know, I was busy doing this, and I was busy doing that, and I wasn't sure. Well, da, 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 on and on we go. But God's going to take no excuses. In the book of Matthew, chapter 25. In Matthew, chapter 25, what does He say there? In verse 30, to the one talent man who was unprofitable, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we're unfaithful to the Lord, that fate will befall us. And then there, in verses 31 through the end of the chapter of the judgment scene, notice what it says there in verse 41, then shall he say also to them on the left hand. The left hand are the goats. And on the right hand of the Lord are the sheep, the left hand are the goats. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed in everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And that's the nature of people, either sheep or as goats. Sheep, they just follow. That's just kind of the nature of sheep. They're a creature that follows. They're more meek and submissive. I remember watching this TV show, and anyway, they had these sheep coming up a chute. And they put a rod there, and that first one, he jumped over. And the second one, he jumped over. And the third one, they pulled the rod back, and it jumped. And the fourth one, and it jumped. And the fifth one, and it jumped. Why? Because the nature of sheep is they're followers. They just look at the example before them, and they just follow that example. And those who are characterized as sheep, that is those who follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But now goats, well, goats are just stubborn. I mean, they're just independent minded. I mean, that's just the way they are. They just sort of do their own thing. I mean, they do crazy stuff. I think it was last spring, one of the fellows at church, Robbie Hughes, I went to borrow his little tractor and plow my garden. And he said, well, you'll have to wait a couple of days while them goats got in there and chewed a couple of the spark plug wires off. I mean, they're crazy, you know. I was up in West Virginia. This was funny to show you how goats are. I was staying with Ralph Koontz. And he had over one side of the barn, kind of a field, and he has goats in there during the wintertime. And where he had the hay, he could give out to them, and they could pick around with what little bit of there was to eat. And then come spring, he was going to transfer them over to the other side. It was kind of across his yard and driveway. And so what he did, he had little collars on those goats, and he had one of them big old four-wheelers, and of course the little ones, they'll just follow the mamas wherever they go. Well, there was one goat that wasn't going to be cooperative. And so he just got that big four-wheeler and just sort of eased up in first gear, and he just started taking off on one goat. He just stubbed up like that. Well, that big old 400cc Honda four-wheeler just kind of gently just dragged that goat across. He went, he was just dragging it across the yard to get it over to the other field. It was comical. And that's just the nature of goats. They're just kind of, they stub up. If they don't want to do something, they don't want to do something. And that's the way a lot of human beings are. They just stub up when it comes to serving God and God's will and what God wants them to do. And they just do their own thing. Okay, well, you can be an old stubborn goat. But you're going to have to answer before the judgment seat of Christ. And He will say in that day, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46 He says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Ladies and gentlemen, when the trumpet shall sound, ladies and gentlemen, it will be the punishment of sinners. That is the impenitent sinners. Those who refuse to obey the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You might think, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person and I try to work my job and take care of my family and I don't try to lie and cheat and go out and run around on my spouse. And well, now that's good. You need to do all that. But let me tell you something. If you don't obey the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will be lost because of sin. It is just as much a sin to be unthankful as it is to be a murderer or an adulterer or a thief. Sin is sin in the sight of God, and it calls us to be a criminal in God's sight. And ladies and gentlemen, there will be a punishment, a just punishment for the impenitent. When the trumpet shall sound, ladies and gentlemen, eternity is to come. We saw that time will end. Well, we're going to step into eternity. It is a state of timelessness. It is forever and ever and ever. Look at that text once again, Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Everlasting, eternal. They're from the same word. Just as long as punishment lasts, life eternal lasts. Just as long as eternal life lasts, eternal punishment lasts. That means forever and ever and ever. In the book of John, chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's a long time. Forever and ever and ever. In the book of Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, Paul says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we can have what? Eternal life. Everlasting life. Life eternal. To live forever and ever with God Almighty. Or, if we are impenitent, to be punished forever and ever in everlasting punishment. That's just, it's mind-boggling to think about that quantity of, well, it's just timelessness. I mean, we're not talking about thousands a year. We're not talking about 10,000 a year. We're not talking about 100,000, millions, hundreds of millions, billions, hundreds of billions, trillions. We're talking about forever and ever and ever. Eternity is to come. When the trumpet will sound, time will end, and we will step into eternity. When the trumpet will sound, time will end. It will be the resurrection of the dead, a universal judgment. This material universe is going to be burned up. There's going to be the punishment of the impenitent sinner. There is the eternity to come. And one final point to think about, when the trumpet will sound, and that is, it will be the triumph of the saints, the sanctified ones, those who are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verses 13 and following, Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, drawing the conclusion, since this is so, comfort one another with these words. And it is always a comfort to think about. In eternity, it will be the triumph. It will be the victory. It will be the championship of the saints. That we become victorious in Christ. In the book of 1 John chapter 5 there. In 1 John chapter 5, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." That word victory, it is from a New Testament term. It is nu iota kappa epsilon, Nike, or we pronounce it Nike. We've all heard of Nike tennis shoes. Nike, it means victorious. It's the idea of an athletic competitor who is victorious, who is a champion, who is a winner. And that's what he is saying. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the Nike that overcometh the world." This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith, we have victory. We have Nike. That is, we have victory. We have the championship for those who are the saints of God, those who are the followers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Next Monday night, about 11 o'clock or so, there's going to be an NCAA champion. And there's going to be one team that's going to be happy and ecstatic, and they're going to be jumping up and down, and their hometown, wherever that team is from, the college they represent, they're going to be jumping up and down, and people are going to go bonkers, and they're going to be honking horns, and they're going to be high-fiving, and they're going to be doing all kinds of things, and they're going to be so happy of winning a national championship in the men's basketball championship of the Final Four. Ladies and gentlemen, in eternity, the saints are going to have a tremendous victory. There is going to be a triumph of the saints of God. Because we're something? No. But because Jesus is something. Because Jesus made it possible that we could find forgiveness and that we could become His servant and that He could make us right in the sight of God and justify and make us right in God's sight. Ladies and gentlemen, we can be ready for that day. How so? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can make it possible for us to be right in that day. There's no other way, there's nobody else that can bring salvation, only Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it through Allah, you're not going to find it in the Book of Mormon, you're not going to find it in the Watchtower Bible Tract Society, you're not going to find it in the decrees of the Pope, you're not going to find it in Freemasonry, you're not going to find it in any organization or any other person save Jesus Christ and His church to become one of His saints, one of His sanctified one who has been set apart by obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ to become a child of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we can have triumph in that day through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what do we need to do? How do we get ready? Well, it's to obey the gospel. If you're not ready for that day, you can. 5 steps to become a Christian that we read about in the New Testament. God's plan of salvation is that we hear the good news. We've talked about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. That's where our salvation comes from. Do you believe in the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? You've got to believe in the Son of God. Romans 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Upon our faith in Jesus Christ, we've got to repent. We've got to turn to God. That's what Paul preached among the Jews and the Gentiles, that men should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we confess our faith. Confessing Jesus before men to acknowledge, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then the final step in God's plan of salvation is that we must be baptized into Christ. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not to put in away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how we get started on the road that leads to heaven. And that is to become one of God's saints, a Christian. Then we're to grow and be faithful. Matthew 10 and verse 22, "He that endureth the end, the same shall be saved." We get started and we just keep pushing on, faithful to the end, faithful unto that. And if we err as a child of God, we err from the faith as a Christian, we need to repent and pray God for forgiveness, as we see from Acts 8 and verse 22. The question is, ladies and gentlemen, for you tonight, are you ready for this day? I don't know. It could be tonight the Lord Jesus Christ comes. I don't know. It could be tomorrow. It might be 10 years or 100 years. I just don't know. And if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come tonight, you know, I might step into eternity even tonight. My world might come to the end. This world may not come to the end, but my world might come to the end, and so might yours. And if you're not ready for this day, the day of judgment, and it will inevitably come for all of us, and you want to make your life right, you come and let us know what we can do to help you. Obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. While together as we stand and as we sing.